The Tao of Self-Confidence, episode 374.
Welcome to The Tao of Self-Confidence, where I share stories of amazing women who have discovered their inner journey to self-confidence. Visit our website at thetaoofselfconfidence.com. Your inner journey to self-confidence awaits.
Well, hello, friend. Welcome to the Tao of Self-Confidence, where I share stories of amazing women who have discovered their inner journey to self-confidence. I'm your host today, Sheena Yap Chan, and today I have a phenomenal lady on the show today. She is a spoken word performer, and I'm just excited to have her on and share her story with us today. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to Jerrica Escoto. Jerrica, how are you today? Maybe you can fill in a little bit more about yourself to our listeners.
I'm doing well. Yeah, so I've been a spoken word performer for over a decade. For anyone who is familiar with spoken word, there's also something called poetry slams. And so in San Diego, I was on the 2010, 2013, and 2015 San Diego Slam team, where we competed nationally. And in 2011, I competed at the Women of the World Poetry Slam and ranked 12th in the world that year. I used a lot of my poetry to mentor youth. I facilitated workshops for young women in community schools and in lockup. And in 2014, I released a book of poetry with my fellow colleague and poet, Gil Soto. It's called How to Love Gods and Acrobats. Outside of my poetry career, I was also heavily involved in the academic field. I have a master's degree in women's studies, and I taught at both San Diego State University and Cal State San Marcos. Right after I got out of graduate school, I kind of dove in into a completely different career and became a creative specialist for celebrity life coach Tony Robbins. And then after I worked with him for nearly 3 years, I'm currently self-employed and playing that similar role as a content producer and creative strategist, primarily in the live events realm and the university setting.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that. And Jerrica, what's your cultural background?
I'm Filipino.
Thanks for sharing that. And what would be your favorite self-confidence quote?
So I have two that I sort of live by every day. First, from Anais Nin, and I'm a big fan of her work and her writing. And she has this famous quote, "And the day came when the risk to remain tight in a bud was more painful than the risk it took to blossom." And that quote just spoke volumes for me, because I think as women, especially women who have undergone trauma, I think that we subconsciously sort of close ourselves off. And we don't consciously, you know, push people away or learn to mistrust others. But I think that there comes a time in our life or in our adulthood where we realize that holding all of that vulnerability in actually hurts us more than helps. So the first time I read this quote was like in 2011, and it really changed things around for me. The second one is something that I actually wrote last year. Every April is National Poetry Month, and a lot of poets in our community, we write something called 30-30, which is one poem a day in April. And one day I wrote, "I cannot control the way others experience me. I can only control the way I experience others." And I remind this, I let this be a reminder to myself every time I'm feeling down, or I don't like what I see in the mirror, or I'm having any sort of self-confidence issue. I remind myself that I have complete control in the way I can experience others and those emotions, and how anyone else experiences me is completely up to them and has nothing to do with me. And it has really helped me navigate through some tough things throughout the years.
Thanks for sharing that. And I love that quote that you mentioned in your poetry. I mean, especially, you know, as women, we're always so scared of what other people think of us. I mean, we let that control us, not realizing like we can let that go. And, you know, as long as we learn to love ourselves, you know, the right people will come into our life. So thanks for sharing that. And in your own words, how do you define self-confidence?
So my definition of self-confidence, I think, is evolving every single day. I think that the most important thing is being exactly who you are in all of your versions and parts, and to self-witness versus self-judging. And so what that basically means is you know, witnessing the different parts of yourself that come out, you know, as people and even as women, there are different roles that we play. You know, we are sisters or we're partners or we're mothers or we're cousins, we're lovers, we're anything. And in all of those parts, a different part of us sort of shows up. And I think that often, at least for me, I forget that all of those parts make up who I am altogether. And so the times that I'm self-judging myself for having any kind of feelings or feeling bad about myself, or even in the times that I find myself judging others, to sort of pause and witness like, oh, this is happening, and not exactly judge yourself, but witness what's happening in your body, how you're feeling, where you hold that, if there's heaviness, where that heaviness is, if there's pain, where is that pain, and to sort of just breathe through that. And so self-confidence for me is being able to just be exactly who you are in all the parts that you are, and to not self-judge.
Thanks for sharing that. And I love the definition that you mentioned, especially, you know, we're so great at self-judging, right? You know, judging all our flaws or little mistakes, you know, not realizing like it's actually a beautiful thing. It's a part of us and we should embrace it and learn from it instead of, you know, trying to tell ourselves, why did you do that? You're so, you know, wrong for doing that. You know, you should be punished. And really, we shouldn't. We should learn to just, you know, love ourselves a little more in those times as well. And Jerrica, what was your life like before your discovery of self-confidence?
You know, it's funny. I would use a metaphor, but it sort of felt like I was living underwater. And then the day I kind of came into myself was the day that I sort of came out of the water and started breathing. And I didn't realize I was underwater that whole time. As a child, I identify as being queer. I'm very gender neutral. I often pass as both a woman and a man. And as a child, I was severely bullied for being like a boy or wanting to be a boy, to the point where I couldn't go outside to play because so many of the boys in my street would start like throwing things at me or come up to me and sort of challenge whether or not I was a real girl or a real boy. I really liked to skateboard back then, so they would just stand there and like make me do tricks in front of them. And if I couldn't do it, then they would just give me more grief. That was pretty hard. And for me then, I felt I didn't know how to exist in that sort of gender binary. I didn't necessarily feel like a quote unquote girly girl, but I didn't also know how to embrace the tomboy part of me without feeling like I was going to get some sort of backlash. And I think with that came a lot of hurt and a lot of self-degradation because, you know, especially in Filipino culture, at least in my family, I didn't feel that I was a beautiful daughter because most of the time I had short hair, I wore baggy boy clothes. And so that was really hard because I truly wanted the approval of my parents and I wanted to feel attractive and beautiful in my body, but I didn't know how to do that without also being true to who I truly am inside. You know, so there's that as like a child. I sort of started giving myself self-confidence into high school because I got to this place where I realized that I don't have anyone but myself right now. And this is my life and this is the life that I have to live. So I actually came out in high school. I came out to my parents in college, but I came out in high school. I was like probably like one of maybe three in our whole high school that actually came out. And I underwent a lot of discrimination too for that. I had a lot of both boys and girls saying things as I walked by. And so I think what happens when you go through that, especially at a young age, and when you continually go through some sort of bullying at a young age, at least for me, it hardened me to the point where I really truly felt I had no choice but to stand taller and to be proud of who I am. Because then if I'm not going to be proud of who I am, then the opposite happens, right? The depression, and not to say that the depression doesn't happen or it didn't creep in, but there were just two sides and I chose to just try and be stronger and to prove that I could be better. And, you know, even now as an adult, I'm 29, I still, you know, go through body dysphoria and these societal pressures of what attraction is. But once I go down some sort of like rabbit hole, it's much easier for me to sort of get out of it because I know what it's like in moments in my life when I've had true self-confidence in myself.
Thanks for sharing that story, Jerrica. And, you know, it's crazy, you know, a lot of people, especially, you know, as women who come out, especially in Asian families, it's difficult because it's like you have this one set of rules that you have to follow. And if you don't follow it, you're not considered a good daughter, or a good sister, or, you know, a good, you know, person in society or whatever your culture is. And sometimes we don't have that support, especially maybe back then the support for that wasn't as large as now, right? I mean, slowly we're progressing. But, you know, it was great you're able to come out and stand tall and proud of who you are, regardless of what happens. And it's not always easy, especially when kids are, you know, calling you names, you know, badgering you for being who you are. You know, it takes a lot of courage to do that. And, you know, because of that, what's your life been like now?
So my life now, it's pretty interesting. I'm sort of in a place where I've actually begun to trust myself. And that's really weird for me. It's like, I decided to become self-employed after working for Tony Robbins for almost 3 years. I went into another full-time job and I just started realizing that I wasn't really happy and a 9-to-5 job wasn't really giving me the freedom to have time for self-love and self-care. And so I sort of launched into self-employment where I became a contractor, and that felt pretty risky for me, but it's been successful up until this point. And honestly, I think me being a spoken word performer really, really helped to kind of catapult that confidence into my everyday life. Because for 3 minutes at a time when I'm on a stage, I'm pouring my heart out and I'm being vulnerable and I'm actually allowing strangers to judge my poetry and to judge my stories. Every time that we, you know, fellow poets and I talk about it, we sort of like say our relationship with slam poetry feels a little bit abusive sometimes, because, you know, if I do a poem about my grandmother who passed away and how much she meant to me, and on a scale of 0 to 10, someone gives me a 6, it can be very hurtful and traumatic to feel that you kind of went up there and gave your all. But I think doing it for so many years, it gave me the confidence to kind of get up in front of strangers and demand and will what my desires are into existence. And that kind of drive and that kind of strength really helped me trust that I am exactly where I am supposed to be. And as cliche as that sounds, I think I'm just now really truly believing that if something is going on or something's happening that's out of my control, that is making me feel hurt, or is that making me feel like I'm going down some sort of dark path, I always remind myself that there is no darkness without light. And so it's much easier for me now to, you know, again, witness, okay, this is happening. I'm not loving myself today. Why don't I love myself today? Why am I in the dark? And when am I going to get to the light? And do I wait for that, or do I make moves? And now that I have that mindset, I find that even if I feel like I'm in a pinch for anything, even when it comes to like money, like being afraid of paying bills, I just calm down and I trust that I'm where I'm supposed to be. And then literally a few days later, something happens that, you know, allows me to be paid in the time that I need and to help to pay all my bills on time. And so it's nice. It's nice to really feel that something out there has my back.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that. I always believe that the universe has our back, regardless of what happens. And like, you know, you asking the right questions to yourself, you find the answers right away, because, you know, we all have those answers. It's just learning to ask the right questions. And most of us always, you know, ask the wrong questions, right? And we're all guilty of it. It's like, why am I made this way? Why doesn't he or she love me? What's wrong with me? Instead of, you know, switching that, you know, just like asking the opposite of it, you know, what's so great about me? You know, why do I love myself? You know, what am I great at? What are my talents? What can I do today that can make myself better, you know, tomorrow or 3 weeks from now? I mean, that's when the answers start coming and, you know, just things start to appear without even, you know, explaining why or how it happens, but it happens. And it's great to have that kind of feeling. So it's great that you also experience that as well. And if our listeners, you know, were listening to your episode and they were in a similar journey to self-confidence, what'd be that one tip you would give to them?
I think to get rid of the illusion that falling in love with yourself is like a one-time thing. I think I'm learning that falling in love with yourself, it never ends. Because you usually, when you think about a metaphor of falling in love, you think, okay, you leap and you jump and you sort of land somewhere. And I'm sort of at this place where I'm realizing that when you leap and you fall and you take that risk to truly fall in love with yourself, you don't actually ever really reach a bottom. As we get older, as we experience more, as people in our lives come and go, I think the falling in love with ourselves, it consistently changes. And to really note when grief shows up, grief for me, whenever I think of grief, I think it's funny because grief shows up right when we think that we have let it go or that we've forgotten grief. And that's the funny thing about grief, right? It just shows up sometimes randomly. You can be at a meeting and be triggered, or in a conversation with someone you're close with and be triggered. And then what happens with, at least for me, is then I no longer am becoming nice to myself. And in those moments, I would say to any women out there, the times that grief show up, the way that you don't give grief that power anymore is to notice when it shows up and to take a moment, you know, and witness the grief is happening and then move on. Because when you let that grief make yourself wonder, am I a good person? Should I have done things better? You know, exactly what you said, asking ourselves the wrong question. That is when we give grief that power. And that's how we end up kind of pausing the falling in love with ourselves.
Thanks for sharing that tip. And I love it. It's so true. You know, loving yourself is like a never ending journey. You know, there's always going to be obstacles that we go through, and we have to learn to love ourselves no matter how good or how bad things, you know, things can happen, because it can occur, and sometimes we have no control over it. But we can control, you know, how we love ourselves, how we see ourselves, how we want to view ourselves, right? So I really love that tip that you mentioned. And if our listeners wanted to get to know a little bit more about you or check out, you know, some of your work, is there any links or social media profiles we can connect with?
So I'm on Instagram and Facebook. If you search my name, I'm pretty easy to find. I also have a couple of poetry videos on YouTube. They date back a couple of years, but some of my poetry is on there. And then if anyone wanted to purchase How to Love Gods and Acrobats, I believe just Googling that, you should be able to get to Gil Soto's website in order to purchase the book.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that. And to our listeners, if you want to connect with Jerrica, you can also head on over to the TaoofSelfConfidence.com and search for Jerrica's name. Her show notes will pop up along with everything else we talked about. And I just want to thank Jerrica for taking the time to share her story with us today. So Jerrica, thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. It's really great having you on the show. And to our listeners, be on the lookout for another new episode of Another Amazing Woman's Journey to Self-Confidence. And we'll talk to you soon. Bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in to another amazing episode of The Tao of Self-Confidence. Sign up for our free membership site to get more amazing resources for self-confidence by visiting our website at thetaoofselfconfidence.com. Your inner journey to self-confidence awaits.